Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
And welcome to another episode of Seize the GM.
Fun and wonder, excitement for all.
Yes.
I hope.
It will be. People will enjoy this no matter what.
You're blindly optimistic.
I know. It happens. It happens to even the wisest of us that I'm just idiots. So.
That's actually quite zen.
I know, isn't it?
It fits you so well now, doesn't it?
So, well, we're just going to banter because we're doing two shows in one night. So, you already heard what we did last week, but you won't know, and we'll have to fill you in twice as much the next time.
Well,
three times.
I don't know. I mean, you're moving. I wouldn't consider that, you know.
Actually, when this drops, I will be hopefully all moved. I will be finishing up a few things around here so that I can do the final walkthrough with the landlord and get my security deposit back. So, that's the game plan. So yeah, you guys will be getting this on hopefully the day that I'm getting that done.
Could be a lot worse.
It really could.
Oh, come on.
We have a lot of fun stuff planned. But one thing I wanted to talk about, we're going to have one more show after this. And then we are going to be taking a short break.
For convention season.
For the one show that I will be at this year.
So if you're going to be at Origins, guys, look for us.
Yes.
Come say hi.
Yes. Come say hi. We will be wandering all over the place, though. So if you're there and you want to hang out, find us on social media. That's easiest thing to do.
Mm-hmm,
and I will be trying to post stuff whenever I'm doing something.
I mean, I know you don't register for stuff for Origins, but I did. So, you know, one of the things I'm so looking for, I signed up for one of the Dread games. So, you know, see if you can find me there.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Oh, yeah. And I'm doing Dread, and on your recommendation, it's Paranoia.
Oh, Paranoia is just fun.
You scared me. I don't know what to expect. Hey, you're the one that told me to do it, so I signed up blindly, so I don't know what to expect. What did you goof me into doing?
Nothing.
What kind of dice do I need to bring?
I don't remember anymore. The last time I played Paranoia was in high school.
You recommended me to go do this, and you can't go, oh, God.
Well, I don't remember what dice. As long as you've got a full set of polyhedral dice, you're covered. Don't worry about it.
You told me it was fun, so I signed up for it, and
it is. Generally speaking, most things like that. Paranoia is a fun game. It's super campy. It's, yeah, it, it's one of those things that if the guy, whoever's running it, if they get the campy, it'll be a game. And if they don't get campy, then that is where I feel Paranoia's strong point is the campy factor of it.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't know. I didn't. You just said it was cool. So
it is.
But I didn't know like what it was going to be like. Is it going to be spooky? Is it going to be silly?
It's imagine Paranoia is Cold War. We've survived in a bunker after the nuclear holocaust. Okay. It's like the campy factor is like cranked up to like 25.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, you have what is called the friend computer. It controls everything. And it's always on the look for Tommy traitors. Now, just so you know, all characters in Paranoia are mutants.
Oh boy.
Everyone,
okay, this is gonna be delightful.
When I played, everyone had a mutant power. So, okay. I mean, everyone's a mutant. You just don't know how they're a mutant. And it's basically forcing them to play their hand, showing that they're, if they're a mutant, then they're obviously a commie mutant traitor. And therefore, they should be killed. I mean, you have something, I think you have 7 clones.
Okay.
Because that's how many times you die.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's funny. Nothing is serious. If you die, you have a clone that shows up right where you were at. It's campy. It's like the best part of campy. So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this now, man. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. You're going to have a blast as long as the guy,
I might
whoever's
drag you
running
with
it,
me. I might
gets
drag you
campy.
With me.
Okay.
Yeah, I signed up for it because you told me it was good. I might drag you with me. It's like, because I think Zippy is doing D at that time. I'm not sure. I'll have to look.
Okay.
But it's just like, no, like not doing this alone.
Yeah, as long as we don't have some other commitment or something, yeah, I will totally go play.
Sweet.
So, yeah, I just have to, get one of those generic tickets or whatever.
Yeah, I signed up for like 4 or 5 things, I think.
I have issues with paying to play games.
Well, for me, I got the Deadlands Noir. I signed up for that.
Ooh.
Yeah, for
Savage
certain.
Savage Worlds?
I don't remember. It just looked cool.
Yeah, that's Savage Worlds.
The reason I did it is, okay, I wanted to get into one of the Dread ones. There's a very specific one I wanted to get into. So I'm like, okay. So the things that I signed up for. And I know that I have to pay some tokens because you said you're dragging me to a minis paint thing, so.
Oh, that's free.
Yeah?
Yeah. A paint take? Yeah, those are like free. You go up once a day and you get a mini and they give you a thing with paint and you just sit down and paint a mini. And then you take it with you when you're done. Go back the next day. Do it again. Yeah, you don't have to have anything special for that. That's one of the beauties of Reaper's paint and take, is it's just free.
Well, you're going to have to drag me to that one, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me, you, and Tracy will go do that. I love sitting down and doing those. But I'm going to be bringing my toolbox full of my stuff, because I've got a couple of minis to paint for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bring all of my stuff. So you'll see what I carry around to paint minis. And you'll probably call me crazy and psychotic, but hey,
it's going to be fun.
It will. It really will. So yeah, Origins, it's coming up pretty quick.
I know.
So
I'm gonna have to break out the suitcase.
Yep. Get everything packed. Get everything ready. I got these amazing looking business cards that are not business card size. They are postcard size. It's really going to be really hard to miss when you get one, because business cards just get thrown in with everybody. But if you've got like something that's unique and stands out, people will remember it because it's not a normal size. So
should be fun.
Well, we're going to go ahead and dive into this bad boy of getting in the mood. Or, as the normal people call it, setting atmosphere at your table.
Yeah, I wasn't going to touch that one.
Come on. But, yeah. So, we know that I go a slight bit overboard when it comes to Minnie's terrain.
Yes, yes, you do.
So, do you do things to set an atmosphere table for games that you're running?
Oh, heck yeah. I go a little weird, though.
Okay.
All right. I will go to Little Fears because I have a very unique way of set the mood with that one. You know, I turn the lights down. I have these electronic little light candles. Mm-hmm. And before I even start the game, before my players even arrive, you know, I actually have a candle that smells like a campfire. So I'll light that, and the room will smell like a campfire.
Awesome!
Or if I'm doing, a noir kind of fantasy thing, you do like it's a sandalwood Nag Champa incense blend. You do it, but it's this weird one that I have with leather. It's leather Nag Champa and a little sandalwood. You put just a little bit of the two, but heavy on the leather, and it's an incense stick, and I'll light it.
Oh,
let that scent get into the air. With stuff like that, I'll change the tablecloth. Thank you, brain. I'll change the tablecloth. You know, so if we're doing noir, I'll go black. If we're doing, you know, cyberpunk, blue and silver. You know, stuff like that. It's not just, for like tokens or something like that as well. Like if I'm doing, when I do Little Fears, you get these things called leaf. Okay. It's kind of like an activation magic power kind of thing. And I actually have a big, it's like a plastic jar of semi-precious sparkly stones, you know? So it's like, okay, there's that kind of like, you know, mystical, but not like woo, you know, like magey feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of that idea. If I'm going, you know, fantasy, you know, I'll put maybe rose oil in a diffuser. The other thing you can also do, and I hate that I do this, but I'm half Italian. It's part of what I do, you know, is the snacks and the foods. So if we're doing a fantasy thing, I'll buy like kielbasa and I'll get a hard cider and, you know, certain types of like, not cross, but like sourdough, but that kind of stuff, you know, as snacks, you know. But if we're doing cyberpunk, you know, I'll do, like Nutrigrain bars and, you know, it's, and like, and beer or if I'm doing pulp, I'll get like, you know, a shot of whiskey. And, you know, like hard pretzels, stuff like that. Stuff that, not just that, but, you know, you have the scent, but also sometimes food can, and you mix, like, eat it, and then you're playing, and, you know, like, if you're in a club, and you're sitting there, and you're, like, all of us are over 21, of course, so, like, we might be, you know, listening to some music, and, of course, this is where Sirenscapes is going to be your best friend, at least for background ambiance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you got to be careful you don't bring it up too much where it's too loud and it breaks immersion, or too soft and they don't understand what the heck they're listening to.
Yeah, it's a very fine line.
Yeah, but what do you do? I'm sorry, I rambled there a little bit. Sorry,
that's
sweetheart.
Totally okay, because, you know,
Well, you're going to have to come over and see what I do. It's like I have incense and then I feed you.
You know, and I'm good with all of that.
Yeah, so you have to pick, okay, what do you want me to run? All right, because, like, you know, because if I'm doing, like a weird one, like Day of the Dead fantasy kind of thing, I have actually made Puerco Pibil. It takes 5 hours and it slow cooks. I slow roast that thing of banana leaves in the oven. It's phenomenal. But that's usually for... I don't want to say like high adventure. That's kind of like for like low fantasy. You know, if you're thinking more dark fairy tale versus Middle Earth.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, or especially if it also has like a Spanish theme to it. But oh, it is so good. It's spicy. It's spicy, but it's slow roasted pork. And I usually serve it with Spanish rice and green beans.
Well, let's see.
So what do you do, love?
Well, I like to play around with lighting if I can do it. Currently, with where we're at, I used to have a great dimmer on the room, so I had real tight control over how much light was around. And I would use, you know, I use sounds, everything from, you know, YouTube videos of, you know, 20 hours of, you know, of like dungeon, like cave sounds and stuff. You know, things that have been recorded and worked on. This was before Sirenscape. I would also, like, if there was going to be a feast, like, we would make this huge meal. And it was in the middle of the table while we were sitting there playing. We've done, let's see, lighting. I've redraped an entire room. I've built, like, I took an old vampire game. We actually had taken one of those wall-mounted medicine cabinets, and it had the two sconces that held light bulbs. Well, what I did was I took all the wiring and I pulled all of that out. I covered the mirror up and I spray painted the whole thing black. And you could actually sit it so that it was sitting on top of stuff, and it had two candles, and on the face of it, I had taken and like acid etched the different clans all the way around it. I've built, like, I use props. I build landscapes that are unique to the situation. Everybody's got their own minis. I even do spell effects and stuff as like pieces that people can put on the board.
Ooh.
So like if you've got a web spell, well, I have a web template that you can literally just throw down. And this area is webbed. You know, this area is, you know, when you have somebody that gets in, like, if somebody casts enlarge person on them, well, I have it's a 2-inch hole punch. I basically took, like, really heavy cardstock, punched two of them, glued them together, and then in the center, I did a 1-inch circle, and then I wrote this spell effect, like, it gives you on the outside of it. So that it just sits down on the table underneath your mini. I mean, yeah.
Weird. It seems
spheres. You can move around.
Yeah, you said ambience. You said the feel more with, you know, props and stuff that you could actually use in the game. Where I kind of use a little bit more ephemeral, subtle.
Depends. Around here, I've only been able to run things like Pathfinder because of where I live.
Gotcha.
When I'm running something like Changing, it's a whole nother ball game. And it's really dark. Like, there's everybody has their own little candle because the base lighting in the room is going to be almost non-existent.
Ooh.
Because you're not using, you know, you don't have, oh, well, here's the battle map, because you don't need that. It's a story game. So if I'm running a story, well, that's a whole different thing, because then, like, I'm not using laptops and things like that. I'm trying to make it as dim and dark in there as I can. So I'm using, like, handwritten notes, stuff like that, and using my little light, my little tea light or whatever, everybody else is in the same room doing to even, like, read character sheets. I was running... I tried to run a... it wasn't quite... it was Wild West-ish, but it wasn't... I think it was, like, werewolf or something. And I actually went out and bought from, like, a Pier 1 or something, like, 4 or 5 mm-hmm. hurricane lamps.
Ooh.
Because that's what they would have used. So I just had 4 or 5 hurricane lamps sitting around my apartment at the time. And that was the light for the game. And, I mean...
Nice. Now I'm just imagining that.
I would black out windows, because if I was playing during the day, because I worked a lot of third shifts at that point, it was like, well, I need to have it dark. So, you know, I'd block all the light from the windows with, you know, hanging up things, darkening the walls even, like everything. Like, I would hang things on the walls to darken the room even further. I would even do things like, I had my couch, and I would do weird stuff like hanging things off of it so it looked misshapen and stuff like that. And then when I ran Wraith, literally everybody only had, there was a central light, there was a central candle, and that was it for the entire game. So if you needed to look something up, you had to go close to the light to read. Because it's such a dark and dreary game, and it's dealing with you're dead, and what are you trying to do?
And the thing is, though, when you get something like that, but if you get somebody like Zippy or me, we'll do that because it gives us a headache. So we need... That's the one thing, is like when you're doing ambiance, if people can deal with low light, awesome. For me, though, like, you know, with the tea light candles, I get ones that actually have adjustable brightness.
Okay.
Just so, yeah, they'll still flicker and stuff like that, but, you know, one of my friends is almost nearly night blind, which stinks. So if you have ways of kind of to so you don't lose too much,
right.
Sometimes you can't. And I would have loved to be able to do that, but I can't because it would give me such a headache.
Yeah.
And I would like, oh my God, I would want to do that. But it's like, no.
And that's the thing. You have to know your players to be able to do things like this. If everybody is cool, like our old vampire group, there were 7 or 5 of us playing.
Mm-hmm.
We were all really close friends. We literally, it was like a pile. We were like a pile of bodies in a room. Like, we were all, like, super close. We would all just be like, you know, like, well, I was dating one of the other players at the time. So we were just like, we would just be like sitting there, you know, like in each other's laps and across each other, just playing.
Lounging, yeah.
Yeah. But it was a super tight area because, well, we didn't have a lot of room at the time. So it was like, well, we have this one room that we can play in. So we're going to play here. And, you know, we would, like, because we were playing vampire, so we had, like, the chain flutes that each of us had our own glass with our own clan symbol acid etched on it and things like that. It was little things that helped draw us into the story even more. So, I mean,
yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, and to do ambiance, this is something is just as okay. Instead of chairs, beanbags, make it more loungy, or you know, sometimes it's
you're doing something that's like Call of Cthulhu. I mean, give everybody these hard, you know, like because it's puritanical, you know. Eastern seaboard, so Everett is on these hardwood chairs that they have, you know, the ramrod backs, and that's what everybody's sitting in. I mean, make it uncomfortable because it's supposed to be uncomfortable. You're dealing with horror. You know, don't let them, you know, and use sounds, use the environment to push whatever agenda you're trying to get with that atmosphere and ambiance at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that, you know, you have to know your players and how much they can take, because some of these could even be triggers for people. You know, to push them, like, I don't do well nowadays. I don't do well with too much confined area. So I'm always real careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know I can't handle it. So I have to make sure that I have enough room around me, like, all the time now.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I didn't really care. And, you know, it's one of those things. You learn from what you've already done in the past, and you play on all of that and try to figure out what to do with it. Because if you're trying to get that specific mood, that maybe, and for some games, like if you're running a D&D game, which is, you know, they're the superheroes, leave all the lights on.
Heck yeah.
So, I mean, that is the important thing to think about.
Yeah. Use me. So,
you know, and that is one of the things you can do, is you can get around that by really hyper-focusing on making everything dark. But not all games are dark. If you're playing something
light, if you're playing something big eyes, small mouth.
Yeah, it's anime, man. Light that place up.
You know, get like silly cups, you know, like get fizzy, like Orangina or something like that. Like
get
anything.
Ramune. Go buy Ramune, buy ramen. I mean,
well, I'm supposed to have beverages first. Food wise. No, see if you can get, you know, you can get snacks or, heck, depending on what kind of big eye, small mouth, that might tie right into it, you know?
Yeah.
I actually do big eyes, small mouth. You're going to laugh, but I'll get edamame and I'll freeze it.
Okay.
And I'll just, I love that. It's frozen. There's a nice texture to that.
Yep. And you can do lots of fun stuff with it. And that's what you're supposed to be trying to do, is kind of push what you would normally do and try to draw people into the game to where they kind of forget. I like to say it this way. Make them forget to look at their character sheet.
Yeah.
Because they're so drawn into the story that you're weaving and the atmosphere that you've created that they don't think to look at it, because they're in the mood. They've made that next step.
Yeah.
And atmosphere is a way to do it.
It's almost in a way of kind of abnegation and immersion, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it can be done. It's tough sometimes, and I'm not going to deny that one. So, yeah, you just have to be cautious of what you're doing, but always try to push the story element over the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Make it so that they kind of forget that the rules exist for a period of time. I mean, in the Shadowrun game that I'm running for Hidden Grid, I know in like one session, I think we rolled the dice one time in like a 3-hour game. That, to me, says that I nailed what I was trying to do. So, that's the best that I can hope for. So, well, I think this, as we've said before, is just kind of hitting the topic. And there's always more to do. So, but for now, we're going to step away, and we are going to come back with our illustrious stat block. And now we enter stat blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight. And stat block. Woohoo! All right. So, do you want to go first?
Oh.
Or do you want me to go first? Because, see, I'm going to go and then... See, if we do it this way, where then you go, then I do the
Okay, lexicon. You go first then. Yeah, you go first. All right.
Okay. Tonight we have Hexennacht, or the Witch Knight. This is a derelict ship. It's been floating on the edge of current space travel. She's what's called an Ark ship. It's been missing for about 200 years. She left soul-controlled space and lost contact with control. Hexennacht has just appeared on the observation station's sensors. No power, no crew that's responding. A ghost ship that's gone further than any ship before or since. There's no real damage that can be detected by sensors. She could be harboring something from the fringe of explored space. Or she just got lost and has just now gotten back to humans. Maybe the ship holds information about what is out that far, or is just a dire warning.
Nice. Creepy as shit, man. I love it.
Uh-huh. The idea of a derelict ship just like in space is one of those... Like,
oh, God, yeah. Event Horizon?
Like, yes.
Event Horizon freaked the crap out of me.
Yeah, but Event Horizon was, they specifically went to a very, very real thing. Like, they went over the Event Horizon.
Yeah.
This, the idea for this is actually, I got the name from one place, and the idea is, I mean, it's kind of one of those science fiction horror themes. It's a trope for that.
Ah.
And... that derelict ship that's just floating there. But Witch Knight is actually another name for May 1st, May Day. It is when fires are lit to scare off the last of winter. And to scare off the witches that hold winter in place. So, yeah, it's a German festival.
I like it.
So, yeah. All right, go.
You guys always been to the catalog, so I came up with one of my own. Are you frustrated by the near incomprehensible nature of magic? Are your mage friends making fun of you behind your back? The catalog has a new product for you. From the catalog's shadow subsidiary, Froboz Magic and Electric, comes a new fragrance, Flux and Warp. This fragrance will definitely put you mentally on par with your other colleagues. No longer will you be ridiculed for your lack of comprehension. During the annual Wizards Convocation, you will be on par with your peers who wear this fragrance. Just spritz a bit behind each ear, and the magically enhanced pheromones will go to work. They synchronize with your mental acumen. Those that inhale the fragrance now match your IQ and level of comprehension. Simply put, they're now as stupid as you. As an added bonus, the effects linger, lasting anywhere between 6 weeks. Just stay and go. Just spray and go. Then sit back and take in the Schadenfreude. Warning, do not use during family reunions or events of national importance. Froboss Magic and Electric are not responsible for law troubles, one and national election results. Froboss Magic and Electric, naysayers will be totemized.
That is great. That is hilarious. I love y'all. You know, they will now be as stupid as you. That is great.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
I came up, FYI guys, Froboss Electric and Froboss Magic, they are from the Dork.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're just going to jump right into our lexicon. Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary. All right. So the word for this week, it is near and dear to my heart. No. The exact opposite of that, actually. Jubilee.
Aww.
So, Jubilee's own. It has, I'm not exaggerating, according to Merriam-Webster, it has 5 definitions.
Yeah.
Yep. And we will be throwing in a 6th because they don't include that one. So, definition number 1, a special anniversary, something like a 50th anniversary, usually. And the celebration of such an anniversary. Then there is also a jubilation, which is a season of celebration. And then number 3, we have the often capitalized, a year of emancipation and restoration provided by ancient Hebrew law to be kept every 50 years by the emancipation of Hebrew slaves, restoration of alienated lands to their former owners, and omission of all cultivation of the land.
Hmm.
So, and let's see. Number 4. A period of time proclaimed by the Roman Catholic Pope, ordinarily every 25 years, as a time of special... I have no idea what that... solemnity? We're going to do that word next time.
It's what? A
solemnity. Basically,
yes, solemnity. I know. No.
A special plenary indulgence granted during a year of jubilee to Roman Catholics who perform certain specified works of repentance and piety. And number 5 is a religious song of Black Americans, usually referring to a time of future happiness. And number 6, the name for my daughter.
Aww.
So, the origin and etymology of Jubilee. It is Middle English from Anglo-French and late Latin, and that is jubilee, and the late Latin would be jubilus, and it's basically a modification of late Greek from Hebrew. Oh boy, yeah, I'm not even gonna try that one, folks, because it's got like not umlauts but the straight accents and all kinds of other things that are specific to the Hebrew language, which I am not going to butcher. But it basically means a ram's horn.
Huh.
And its first known use was the 14th century. So, Yeah. All right. Ready for some closing remarks?
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap this bad boy up quick tonight.
Hey, we did this good. We did, you know, and it's thoughtful and stuff.
It is. It is. So what do you got?
All right, I got a little twofer.
Okay.
Have What Remains of Edith Finch, and it's a Steam game, but all right, don't, before you guys get all your heads up in a bunch. It's kind of a walking story tell. It's done by the guys that did the Unfinished Swan, which, by the way, get that, it's amazing. But how they have the words, and, you know, there's puzzles in it, there's exploring, you find the history of the Finch family, and it's probably one of the most amazing, just, it was an amazing emotional roller coaster. And if you, like, there's walking sims, of course, like, you know, Gone Home and stuff like that. But this, even as the words came up, the words and how they moved, and they actually, when you're playing the game, you actually build the story and you actually move the words around and stuff like that. I was like, wow. Soundtrack was really cool. Good. And it had a little bit of, it was kind of morbid in a way, but not in the, you know, gory or, you know, something like that. It was kind of sad.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it. And the other thing I came across is a webcomic called The Abominable Charles Christopher. And if any of you guys like any of the Miyazaki films, one, the art is phenomenal. The story is, oh my gosh. I just started reading it. I'm blown away, and it's absolutely beautiful. And the artist is, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like this in a webcomic.
Okay.
It's written and drawn by Carl Kerschel. He's worked on Superman. He's done like Assassin's Creed, Teen Titans. He actually co-created Gotham Academy, but.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. He's the co-creator of Gotham Academy.
Okay.
So, guy, he does have a heck of a pedigree. But this story, and it's been going on since, I think, 2007.
Okay.
You know, but as other things come up, you know, he had to put this to the side. But this is kind of like his own personal passion project.
Okay.
So, you know, there's two books out you can buy from his store, and just give it a read, guys. Just be careful. It is not sunshine and rainbows. And FYI, the main character, Charles Christopher, never speaks. He's able to emote and communicate just facial expressions and actions, which I think was kind of cool.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah. So the link will be in the doobly-doo, and make sure, you know, if you like it, if you find the comic and you like it, you know, support your artist. That means, like, go buy the books. Tell your other friends about it so they can buy the books.
Yeah.
You know, if you like the game, if you like The Unfinished Swan, if you like Remains of Edith Finch, buy the game, promote it. You know, let the creator and the developer know that you like it. So that way they can keep doing it. So, sorry. It's all up to you, Zen.
All right. Because I've been talking with local gamers recently and talking about different game systems and some of the benefits and flaws to them, I have a really special place in my heart for this game, and it's Big Eyes, Small Mouth.
Yay!
I bought the original first edition right before second edition came out, and I picked it up at a convention because I had heard, or I saw it just sitting there, and it was just like this super simple little pamphlet, you know. I mean, it's the first edition book was kind of funny because, like, everything was in, like, I want to say 25 pages like the whole game. And I mean, it's more than that, but I'm trying to remember back to that point where I think it was something really short. And I remember reading it over the course of like an hour, just like really reading it. And the idea of it was just so fun. So I bought a couple of the other books that went with it, and they did do some other things with it, like, you know, giant bots and like gun bunnies. And then they also did do other things, like they gave you all the stuff for like Demon City Shinjuku.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole layout of the entire story. Here it is. Now, it didn't give you a way like, here's how to play this in Big Eyes, Small Mouth. This is just a synopsis of the entire series. Which, if you want to just get a feel for a series, that's a great way to do it if you don't have the time to sit down and watch hours of a show. And I think they did Serial Experiment Lane like that too. So there were some really good ones. But they've also done some things when they started second edition. They did some really cool other things. Like they did one called Alpha Centaurians, which was like a mankind has just gotten to Alpha Centauri and like recently, and like there's a group of people that have kind of quasi magical abilities because they have, they're technically psychic or psionics because they've got like this crystal that, you know, is native to that area. Not everybody has it, only certain people do. And it's another world. You're exploring a world. They also did like, they did Pokemon or any of those like capture seizure creatures is what they called it. So it's, you run around and you catch these fucking monsters and make them fight each other. And then they also did one that was, I think it was called Big Ears, Small Mouth. And it's playing animals. So like Redwall and there's another one that was done and I can't remember, Mouse Guard. It's basically playing those, but using that engine to run it. There was another version of it that was done. There was a third edition done, but I don't know anything about that one. I never played it. So I don't know if they radically changed the system or anything, but I played it a few times up through second edition, and it's a lot of fun. It's something that I didn't think was going to be as much fun as it was. So if you want to play everything from giant robots fighting to, you know, like Japanese horror to psychological drama, you can do it all in the game as it's nice. As it's laid out. So, I mean, you have this broad spectrum of games that you can play with just one book. And that's something to, you know, there's a certain elegance to that, I think. So definitely see if you can find a copy of it. I'm sure it's out of print almost anywhere anymore. But there's a link to it on Noble Knight. So I do know that they have copies of lots of it. So go out, find a copy, and read it. Because games like that, some of these old school games or older school games are disappearing, and if we don't keep up with them, they're going to just disappear. Like there are games that were from the 80s that are just gone now and you can't find, like Gangbusters or the early editions of things like Gamma World. Well, those are all gone now.
Yeah. And thing is, like, if we don't know who holds the IP to these anymore or anything, but there's an interest in this. There starts a resurgence.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. I mean,
certain games have actually come back from the brink and then just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that there's one that some basically took all the old books and put them on a website for Star Frontiers, which was one of the early TSR games. So like D&D was their fantasy setting, Star Frontiers was their science fiction setting, and Gangbusters was like a 30s mobster game, and you had, you know, a post-apocalyptic game in Gamma World. So, I mean, those all existed. There were several others, too. Try to find, like, PDFs of them. Buy the PDFs. Grab as much of these old games as you can and just start looking at them, because you may find gems you would just be like, oh, there's no way I would ever play something like this. And you may be inspired to just run with it and do something. So, I know I'm ranty there, but...
It's all right.
I love some of these old games that nobody remembers more, and it's a shame. So, go out and find them, folks. We are big fans of some of the older ones, and I'm going to start maybe even putting up blog posts with some of these older games and some of the joys of them. So,
yeah.
And, oh, there will be, hopefully, by the time this comes out, it will be a little bit of old hat, but there may be a new series coming to the website on the blog. Gardemanger, who is one of the players in the Hidden Grid game that we're doing, has agreed to come on and do some character builds in various systems. So he's going to basically be creating NPCs, statted NPCs, for you guys
random games
to grab and use in your games. So, and every once in a while, I might pop in and throw something together too. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. So it'll probably be like a weekly or like bi-weekly. No, that would be bi-monthly, twice a month. Yes. So, yeah, it'll be either weekly or every other week. But it should be one of those. Hopefully we will have more concrete, finalized things for it. So, but until then, I guess we are going to get out of here. I've rambled way too much tonight.
It's okay, sweetheart.
All right. Well, you guys all have a good one, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zended,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at Zended@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at Jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at NullOperations@SeizeTheGM.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.SeizeTheGM.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine.
by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.